lived with the mother-in-law. Now, this is, he was still living in Alexandria?
Yeah, and I got my divorce in 1934. I suppose they were living together. I don't remember now, anyway. And they wanted to get married, but she was Catholic. And because I had been baptized by, there was a marriage in the eyes of the Catholic Church, you know. And so I don't know, I'm sure they married outside the church, you know, because they had a little girl then after that. But, so.
How long was it between the time when, say, he told you that he was seeing her and you finally ended up moving out to where his mother
was? Well, just a very short time, probably a matter of 2 or 3 months, because to me, once it was over, you know, and I figured it was time to walk.
And so, how did his mother feel about your suffering?
Well, I'm sure she probably had a grasp in the whole situation, but she never condemned me in any way. She she treated me wonderfully. And they always kind of blame Paul, and I've always felt it was kind of unjust because of while, you know, it did break up, but still I could see my own guilt in the situation.
You said that a couple of times. What kind of ways?
Well, I not guilt, but just stupidity, more like it. And, I just wasn't smart enough to, nothing I could just put my finger on, you know, but so just.
So, how did you support yourself?
Well, of course, we were right in the middle of the Depression then, and the only thing that I'd ever done, of course, been a telephone operator. Well, telephone operators didn't leave their jobs till they died back in those days, so there's no chance of getting on that. And so housework was the only thing I could find to do. And so, didn't right away into that, because Paul's mother didn't have hardly, she had her house, so we didn't have any rent to pay. And I'm sure Paul gave me a little money at first, but right soon after that, he lost his job with the telephone company, so that he didn't have anything either. And one of Paul's sisters would send a few dollars every week, you know. But we got along for incredibly little in those days. And you could go into the bakery and get second day bread for 3 cents a loaf, and hamburger was 3 pounds for a quarter. I mean, you know, so you could, without rent to pay, you could live pretty cheaply. And we got along. We certainly didn't have any luxuries, and we got along, and then I sort of eased into the housework thing. I got 25 cents an hour. And I worked for, well, mostly around house cleaning time. People who needed help, you know, back there you had to clean the wallpaper and wash down all the woodwork through the whole house, you know, the whole bit. And so I had several different families that I worked for off and on, and I was one woman that I ironed for, and we'd take in washings, and so we got along just barely.
And how long did you do that for?
Well, about all the time that I was in Mount Vernon.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there was, I had no regular job.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ladies I went to work for was this Mrs. Horn. And her husband was a farmer, and he had a farm outside the town. And she had a family house in town. She didn't care all that much about the farm at all. She'd go out there some, you know, and spend some time out there with him. But in the winter, they spent in California.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I was interested in getting out to California.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to talk about California a lot. And she was awful good to me.
Mm-hmm.
And got so that she was practically the only one I worked for. I didn't work for her all the time, but, you know, quite a bit of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kept kind of planning it to come to California, but I never did make it right about that at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
So what was it that you had made California?
Well, because my mother was out here, and I always just thought California would be where I'd like to live, and let me put that shade down.
So. Yeah,
well, that sun kind of beats in there enough. Anyway, in 1936, my cousin back in Geneva wanted me to come up and visit him for a week or so. So I can't remember how I got there, whether Paul came and picked me up or bussed me there or what. Anyway, I visited her, and I was getting awful tired of housework. Being the one thing I never did like.
Mm-hmm.
So she had a friend that was kind of a big shot in this mop factory back in Geneva, so he got a job for me in the mop factory. So I decided that I'd go back to Geneva and stay.
Mm-hmm.
And so the kids and I moved back here, back there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I made 17 cents an hour, but it was steady.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't very much, but we found a place to live where I rented a... We had a big bedroom. The kids and I was big enough for all three of us to sleep in.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave me kitchen privileges, you know, so I could get our meals in their kitchen. And,
mm-hmm.
and they were awfully nice people. So I made the move back there.
And that was about 1938?
That was 36. Mm-hmm. It was in December 36, because I remember I went back. It wasn't Christmas that I went back for. I was back there on New Year's, I remember.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure I didn't go back until after Christmas was over.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of a big change in my life, but I figured I just didn't want to do housework. It looked like that then the depression was going on forever, and just to get a chance to do something besides housework. So I worked there for, maybe 6 months. And then my uncle was my Uncle Roy. He was the treasurer of at Fork and Hoe, that was the biggest factory in town. They make two temper products, maybe you've heard of them, and they're world famous. But they made the steel shafts for golf clubs and the steel fishing rods. And so he got me a job in the bait department and they tied flies, fishing flies. And mm-hmm. So that was a much better job. It was on piecework, but once I got worked up to where I could work as fast as the other girls, well, I can make an average about 50 cents an hour, which is doing pretty good, you know.
And, now, when you were making the
sentences
and the markup, what kind of work were you doing?
Well, actually, it was working on a sewing machine. Mm-hmm. They had these heavy-duty sewing machines, and they call it the mop fluff. And this whole great big string of, well, they were string mops, you know, dust mops. Mm-hmm. And they were sewed on to a... Well, I guess it was a piece of cloth or some kind of backing, you know, mm-hmm. and this whole great big string of stuff comes through the sewing machine, you know, and sewed it on.
Mm-hmm.
And which was a change. It wasn't something you'd want to do all your life, you know, but it was a step up from housework as far as I was concerned.
How big a place was that?
Well, it was just a small factory.
Mm-hmm.
And Fork and Hole was a much better job when Uncle Roy got me on there. And,
mm-hmm. But how many people would work in the
mop factory? Oh, I can remember 4 or 5, maybe 6 sewing machines.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had a man that they... Oh, I guess the wire was inside this... backing that we sewed it on to, and then they went on a machine that bent them around, and then they had somebody that was welding them together, you know, and all together, I suppose, there might have been 50 people.
Mm-hmm. Is that mainly women? Or?
Well, the women did the sewing, but the men had man supervisor, and of course the men did the welding and the heavier work. And,
mm-hmm.
My memories of what, I guess maybe because I only stayed there a few months, just too vivid right now.
Mm-hmm. So then you went from there
into the fly tying.
Mm-hmm.
And that was real interesting. We made, we didn't do these little bitty freshwater flies, fly casting, but we mostly made the ones that they use for lake fishing,
mm-hmm.
which is a big thing around that part of the country,
mm-hmm.
and our hooks were maybe started about this size, were the smallest ones, and the largest ones about like that.
About 1 inch,
3 inches, and 3.5, and we tied bucktails, it was quite a thing. I had quite a time working up as much speed as I needed to, but I finally made it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my hands get so at first I get so tired and I wake up in the morning and my hands would just be stiff, mm-hmm. and I'd have to soak them in hot water so I could bend my fingers until I got used to it, you know.
About how many flies did you have to tie in
every time? Well, we had to tie 200 and average 50 cents an hour.
That's a long time.
Well, it was at first, but then after a while, and some of them were easier than others, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it depended on the fur you had to work with. You might get a bucktail that had real nice soft fur that bent in real easy, and then sometimes it was real stiff, and it had a real heck of a time winding that thread around and making it hold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. About how many people worked at that time?
Well, of course, it's a big plant, and there were more departments than what mm-hmm. than our bait department. They were about 8 or 10 girls,
mm-hmm.
and a man supervisor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was the building like?
Well, it was a good-sized concrete building.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they made all kinds of farm tools, like shovels and rakes and hoes and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then the sporting goods was sort of a line that they had taken up later, you know. And,
mm-hmm.
For a little while, I went in the fishing rod department, but I don't know, can't remember now. I didn't like it as well, and I think that probably I didn't do as well, and so they sent me back to the bait department. So,
How long did you work there?
Well, that was just about 4 years. My life seemed to kind of go in cycles of 4 years that time. Yeah, I went back there in December '36 and December 1940, why I finally got to California.
Now, did you children were just school
age then? Yeah. Joe was in the first grade, and Bill was in the second, I think, when we moved there.
Mm-hmm.
But the place where we lived, it was upstairs over a bakery. They had a great big apartment up there. Well, it wasn't fancy or anything. It was just big rooms, you know, as the upstairs of a commercial building. And the kids come home from school. School wasn't all that far from the middle of town. It was right in the middle of the town where we were. And they'd come home, and Mrs. Morris would kind of watch out for them. So they didn't give me any trouble at that age.
So the one who owned the bakery?
Well, no, they didn't own the bakery. He had been in the bakery business, and at that time, it just happened that it was up over a bakery. It wasn't, he was working on a bakery truck then.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, went around, and not out of that bakery, out of some other bakery.
Mm-hmm.
But they were awful nice people, and they were nice to look out for the kids for me.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed like all my life I've fallen in with nice people that
mm-hmm.
helped me and did things for me.
Mm-hmm. So you worked with this company that made all of these, it's kind of a lot of different kinds of stuff. Is that all in one building that they made, these like farm implements and everything else?
Yeah, they were in the same building. We just had this one big room here, you know.
Was it noisy?
No, not particularly. It was very nice. We had a congenial bunch of, I say, girls who were
mm-hmm.
young women, most of them.
Mm-hmm. Was that a sort of a job that women usually have? Or?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that, that was, you know, a woman's job.
Mm-hmm. And so then you started a while back, but what year was it that you finally started?
Well, it was in December 1940, and mm-hmm. in the meantime, my stepfather had said, well, you know, I want to come to California, they'd send me the money, and so I told him, well, you know, I was ready to come to California,
mm-hmm.
but in the meantime, my mother and stepfather were just living from hand to mouth. I mean, they didn't have any money to send me.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'd been saving my money until I got my fare
mm-hmm.
saved up. And I sent the kids out during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And they came out on the train by themselves. And then I went out on the bus in December.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother and stepfather were living out in the country over near Hammett. And my stepfather, he was another real character. I'm sure my mother was sorry long before then that she married him. But I mean, you know, they stuck together and I say she was an adventurous type, and But,
and what was his
character? Well, he'd been a Marine,
mm-hmm.
and his last name was Hogan, and he said he was Irish, and he said he was, his mother, I guess, was a gypsy, a Hindu or something. He told real tall tales, and you never knew which was the truth and which wasn't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he'd been all over the world, and he wasn't trying to settle down for a steady job or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And out there, some friends of theirs had let him have this little, it was really just like a shack.
Mm-hmm.
But, he was the dog catcher,
mm-hmm.
and, but it was out in the country. It wasn't, kind of like a ranch, although the people that owned there was a nice little house on the property that belonged to these friends that let them stay there, but they didn't live in the house. They just used the bathroom from the house, and there was just kind of a shack. Well, I mean, you know, Mom had fixed it up so it was livable, but,
mm-hmm.
And so they had the dog pound right on the place. Well, one good thing about he loved dogs and animals. That's the one thing I can think of. And if he'd have to pick up a dog someplace, the dog would have to be awful worthless before he could kill it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he brought them all out there, and I guess they had maybe 50 dogs out there in these pens. And Mama, of course, loved dogs. She'd had a chance to be a veterinarian, it would have been something she would have loved. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
And he'd go around. I guess he made the rounds. He was great at striking up acquaintances with people, you know. And
mm-hmm.
he'd give you the shirt off his back, but you have to be awful careful he didn't get the shirt off your back. And so he had places where he'd pick up, they had meat was getting kind of old, you know, and they'd give it to him, and he made his regular rounds. And so they got enough to feed the dogs. But I think my mother was getting kind of tired for that time. But anyway, I landed out there in the country, and I knew right away that I didn't want to stay there any length of time. But I was there for 2 or 3 weeks. So in the meantime, while Mrs. Horn was down here in Long Beach, she's the lady I worked for, you know, back in Mount Vernon. So she said, well, they'd come up and get me and bring me down to Long Beach. The idea was for a visit, but as soon as I saw Long Beach, I knew that was where I wanted to,
mm-hmm.
to stay. And so the kids stayed back there for a while. And I stayed down here with them. They had an apartment over on 3rd Street near Cherry.
Mm-hmm.
And I started looking for a job right away, but there wasn't anything in the way of jobs, and so I found this Graw Business School, where they had classes in the morning, and then you worked in the afternoon addressing envelopes to pay the tuition.
Mm-hmm.
And I had taken typing
mm-hmm.
in school, but I, wasn't very great at it, so I took the refresher in typing, and I tried shorthand, but I don't have the kind of a mind for shorthand. I never got anywhere with that. I had tried it once before. But anyway, I was going down there, and I had gone to the employment office hoping they could find a job for me. And so they applied for unemployment for me back in the state of Ohio, which I had never even suspected I was eligible anyway, so they fixed it up, so I got $8 a week from the state of Ohio unemployment. So that kind of took care of my incidental expenses. Of course, the Warrens let me stay with them. And so went on till some early spring while they were going back to Ohio. Mr. Horn was at his farm and she was going back to the house in Mount Vernon. And so
well,
they just come out here for the winters, you know, and then they go back to Ohio for the summertime. And I didn't know what I was going to do with the kids, you know, and I still didn't have a regular job. I was going to school, and I kept going down to employment office. Naturally, you have to when you're doing unemployment. And they found me. I did a little work over at the YWCA cafeteria carrying trays. That was $25 an hour, too. So that wasn't steady. It would just, you know, be for a few hours, maybe 2 or 3 days a week or something like that. And of course, they'd take that off of my check I was getting. But anyway, I did get kind of desperate about what I'd do with the kids and how I'd get along after they left. Mr. Horn, he was going back first. And so he said, well, he'd take Bill back with him, keep him back there for the summer, back in Ohio. So that took care of him. Bill, he had the biggest time back there. That was one of he and Mr. Horn got along fine. And I didn't know what I was going to do with Carol. And finally, I don't know how I got directed over there, but anyway, I went over to L.A., the Children's Home Society, and they had a beautiful place out there in Hollywood, and they kept it for me. And it didn't cost me anything. And they were awfully good. It wasn't just like an orphan's home. They had such a wonderful woman in charge of it there. And they were awfully good to her. And a lot of the movie stars were interested in this place, and they'd take some of the kids out to their homes, you know, and treat them and do things for them. In fact, I understand that that's the place where Marilyn Monroe, at the time, you know, that she said she was in an orphan's home, that's where she was. So that took care of Carol at least for a few months through the summer. And then I found a room. It cost me $2 a week. Over on Olive Avenue, it's right across from St. Anthony's Church there, Mrs. Callahan. It's just a little tiny room, but big enough for bed and dresser, and I had kitchen privileges. I could get my meals in her kitchen and keep my food there. And so that worked out when the Horns left, when Mrs. Horn left, why I moved in there, and I kept on going to school down there. So that took me up until the time that they started hiring.